What is your full name?
Stephen Craig Wilfong.
And you live now at?
I live now at 401 Walnut Street. That's where I live. Renting.
A renter.
Now a renter. Uh-huh. Now a renter.
Are you a native of Tucker County?
Yes, born and raised.
Who was your people? Your dad's
people? My mother's parents were in the Stroudeman family. And I just couldn't give you a whole lot of background on my father's family.
But his name was?
Blunnis Wilfong. And the only thing I can't remember his dad. And I can remember grandmother, and that's the only one. And she was Wilfong, and then evidently he had died and remarried a fellow by the name of Soltz. So Melissa Soltz was what she was, her name.
Did you grow up in a big family?
Yes, there's seven of us all together. Wow. Seven kids. I was the youngest. I was the totem pole bottom.
Or the top. Yeah. Where are all they all scattered out?
It was five boys, two girls. All the boys are right here in Parsons, and the two girls both live in Virginia. Different towns in Virginia, but they're really close. It's, you know, they're probably a 45-minute drive from each other, I'd say, where they're located.
So did you went to school then in this community?
Yeah, the grade school now. Parsons High School at the time.
Used to be high school.
Yeah.
You must have finished up there, what, about 70?
1970, exactly. That's a good guess. That's a very good guess. 1970, I'm 34 years old.
Well, I'm 46, so I did some quick guesstimating. And did you go into this car parts business then, or?
Don't know. I've only been in the automobile or this business in June 82 was when I bought where I was located on the corner. Jim Props started it. I think it was October of 81 and was having financial problems all the way through with it, which was basically his son-in-law ran it and not being involved in that type business before. You know, he made some, probably, I feel he made some bad moves.
What had you done before getting into that?
Well, prior to buying this, I think for maybe 9 months, I sold insurance, life insurance. And probably 10 years before that, I worked for Kidwell's in the automotive business. And prior to that, I worked basically, which would have been for 2 years, I think, at the tannery, Parsons Tannery. When I got out of high school, that's where I went to work.
What was that like?
That was very interesting. That was a lot of hard work. That was the type of job where you put in your day's work and you went home and forgot about it, you know, to where compared to something like this, you know, I'll go home in the evening, I'm like, God, I forgot to look something up and order it, you know, and they're coming in tomorrow to get it, and I ain't going to have it, you know.
Or work on your books.
Right. Lots of times you got to come back in the evenings, put in time, putting stock up, checking your inventory, putting in catalogs.
But you really know this business. I mean, you've been 10 years in the automotive.
Yeah. Basically, though, that was just working on the counter. Now, now, you know, owning it now, you know, I'm learning the, I don't know if you want to call it the business part of it or what you would say, but it's the real downright nitty-gritty part of it. And I'm being only in it little over 3 years, I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah, it makes me very nervous at home. Although I've been in business myself, I've done contracting work.
And I always thought that, before that's what I wanted, was to be in business. Own my own business. I still say today that for me, I feel this is the only way. But it's been tough. And I've learned a lot of things in the past 3 years. It's not as easy as it looks when you work for somebody.
Well, the tax structure is not very kind to people.
No, the B&O tax, I think, is totally ridiculous, it seems like, to me, every month it's taxes, which, you got your consumer sales tax, which you do have to fill out and send in, and your quarterly all the time, and you got your Social Security, your unemployment, your workman's comp. Something that I never really thought about, and still am not comfortable with knowing that much about it.
But prior to last November, you were located in a building across the street.
337 First Street.
A red brick glass front.
Right.
And you've been in the business then, 2.5 years, and you were rocking and rolling right along.
Well, actually, I've been there, it was a little bit longer than that. It would have been 3 years June of 86? That was 85. That was what it was. And I had went through and was still going through some financial problems that I was in from really inexperience and learning. But I was really just starting to come out of it. And I would have said the middle of this year or possibly the last of it that I would have been in extremely good shape to where I wasn't quite where I should have been.
You would have been surfacing anyway.
Definitely. Because I in that length of time, I built up a very good business. Very good business. Napa, which is my distributor, extremely pleased. They felt that they've always been business in Parsons, but they didn't know as to what it would do. Because before they ever sold it or let props come in, they went to Ward's and Elkins. And their response was that there wasn't enough business to support a store. So since then, they've definitely changed their mind. I'm sure they have. But I can, you're talking six owners over there compared to one here.
You're also active in the fire department.
Yeah, volunteer fireman.
For many years?
Jeesh. I can't even remember when I did join it. I think it was 76 or 77. I'm not really sure. I'm not too good on time.
You've seen a lot of action in that, though.
Yeah. I've been through a lot of fires, a lot of car wrecks, things like that. Nothing like what we went through this time.
You mean on the
flood, right.
What do you remember? I guess it had been raining, for almost a week.
Yeah, but it didn't really seem that bad. I didn't think that we had really had that much rain. I felt that we've had more rain in that length of time than what we did.
I don't think anybody was particularly impressed by it.
Nobody I know of. I got a route that I run every day. From Parsons to Thomas, Davis, Harmon, back down through Elkins and back in. Never seen no problems the whole day. Left out of Harmon. Must have been about 12:30. Had the radio on, starting coming down 33. And, the radio comes on, says Taggers Valley School is letting out because of rising water. That seems funny. 10 minutes later, it says Harmon's letting out. And I just come out of Harmon, and I never seen it. Through the little streams coming off the mountains were, it was white. It was a lot of water coming down, it was white, but it didn't. Yeah, I've seen it that way before. It didn't seem that bad. Come into Parsons. I guess I got here about 3:30. There, I'm right beside the river where I was, so I looked over at the river. It wasn't up. It wasn't nothing. Never thought nothing about it. Went home. Monitors went off. Went down to the far hall. We're pumping out a basement at Doc Pete's clinic. And I said, we're calling for 3 feet above flood stage. Which, like I said, you know, that wasn't that unusual because we've been told that before. And it's always crested before it got there and went down. We have a ditch right back over here that ran. It's a railroad ditch. I live on the other side, or I did live right on the other side over here. And we always have backup water. You know, and every time it's been like this, it comes up close to the house, but nothing drastic. So we always watch it, and wife calls, a little scared about it. So I'm starting from the far hall to go back to the to tell my wife, you know, it's they're calling for 3 feet. You know, it doesn't seem to be that bad. You know, we're going to wait it out and see what happens. Stop in the far hall to take my bunker gear off before I go on over to the house. Fire chief says they just closed all roads incoming and outgoing of Parsons. Jeez, what's going on? So I went up the state. I said, you know, how bad is the mountain? And they said, well, you know, it's small slides coming off the hills and stuff. So they said it's passable if you take watch what you're doing. So I'll go back home, tell the wife, you know, get some clothes together. We're taking the kids, and I'm going to take you up to your sister's for the night, and I'll come back tomorrow and get you. So we left, took them up. I come back, I don't know, it must have been what, 6:30, 7 o'clock. Come across the Black Fork, no problem, water's up. No, you know, didn't seem to be still that bad at that time to me. Come across to, through Lambert's, and I hit some water where it was in a road, but it looked like it, you know, it was coming out of a storm drain. Still wasn't that bad. I've seen that before. Go back down to Far Hall, put my bunker gear back on, you know, and we go back out, start, you know, pumping a few more places out, you know, basements, filling in. Next thing we know, you know, we hear the Black, you know, it was a Black Fork Bridge. It says washed out. You can't get across. We got firemen over there, you know, with a rescue truck and a fire truck. Can't get back into Parsons. We can't get over to them. We got a call. Well, we didn't get a call. We had a boy came in, said we had a Jeep overturned in Holly Meadows. Said we need a ladder. Well, all we had was the big fart trucks. So we took off. Must have been, well, we thought there was only three of us. We all three, the Larry Price and the Simmons boy, and me got in front and left. And we didn't know there was anybody on the back till we got down there. And we had three boys on the back when we got down there. And there was two McWilliams boys down there, you know, at the road down in Holly Meadows with, must have been 50 yards out in through there. The Jeep was overturned and the people were setting up on it on its side, waving their arms for us, you know. So we had, you know, walking around scratching our heads, you know, what are we going to do with the ladder? We can't get to them with the ladder. So we start looking in the truck for ropes, and they took all the ropes out and put them in the rescue truck when they went to Hendricks and Hamilton to try and get the people out from up in there. So all we had was one little old, I guess the thing might have been 25 feet rope. We tied a brass fitting on it, tried to throw it out to the people out there, but it wouldn't reach. And when we threw it out there, it come out of our hands, my hands actually, I was the one holding the end of it, and we lost the ropes and everything. Oh, we, you know, I started around the truck looking in the compartments, hopefully coming up with another rope or something, or some type of an idea. We was all trying to figure out some way to get out there to them, because we knew them, you know, we all, or I knew them anyway, and I know a couple of the others knew them. Trying to figure a way that we can get out there to get them in, or get them off there anyway. And next thing we know, you know, we're kind of at one side, and I open up the a compartment, look in it, and I close it, and all of a sudden, something's behind me, shoving me. And I turn around, there's nobody there other than just water pinned me against the truck. And Larry Price got in it and was trying to back it up. You know, we felt we was in too far then. You know, it didn't seem to be that high when we went in there. Maybe 2 feet of water. And boy, all of a sudden, you know, he tried backing it up and no go. And just all of a sudden the front just starts floating, turning sideways. You know, it's evidently somewhere on up the upper end of the fields with the fences and the debris and stuff holding the water back, and it broke over. And it just let a kind of like a wall of water come down through, evidently, and just shoved a fire truck right out into the center of the daggone river there. It was a ditch with drainage ditch that went down through there, but the water had come over so much it kind of made it like a river. It wasn't the main river. But we got out in there, and we were stuck right there, and there all of a sudden it just, you know, we were watching Bob and his wife and daughter over there, and it just lifted up the Jeep. Just lifted it up like that. And there they go, floating down the river. We watched them till, you know, it was out of sight with the lights we had, because it was dark then. And everybody said, oh God, what's next? You know, and here we're on the phone screaming, or the radio screaming for help, you know, to get us out. So then we were sitting there really feeling, I don't know how we were feeling. We were scared, definitely scared. Three of us were still in the front, and the three firemen and the two McWims brothers were on the back of the truck at that time. And it was swift, and we knew there wasn't any way, you know, we was going to walk out of it. So we thought we'd just call for what they were going to try and do was bring the loader that Chuck Dumar had over on the avenue down and get us out. But they were out of fuel. They had to stop and get fuel, and the speed of those things, you know, the size of a loader is not very fast. And, you know, the water just kept coming up and coming up and coming up, and we could see probably 30 yards over, you know, a little knoll there, a little thing where there was land. So we thought of ways of trying to get over there, so... Naturally, Larry, being the oldest fireman, says, you know, let's wait. So we're going to wait. The McWilliams boys decided to try and go off with 200 feet of fire hose and thought maybe they could walk over to the land and secure that and for us to come off. So they tried. And, you know, they got out in the river, and the next thing we know, you know, it's washing them down. And we lose sight of them. And everybody said, I think, God, there's two more going. You know, we thought we'd lost the Moors, and we thought we lost those guys. We didn't give anybody back up here, the dispatch or anybody that was trying to get to us, really time to say anything to us, because we were so scared. We just sat on that dangling mic saying, you know, we need help. We need it now. We were shook. We were extremely scared. Me and the Simmons boy are both scared of water to start with. Can't swim. So we finally decided to get out and climb up on the back of the fire truck. Well, we got up there and sat and waited. And finally, the truck started doing this back and forth and back and forth. You know, we thought there wasn't no way of riding that thing out. If the water come, you know, or kept coming up, it's going to tilt it over, and somebody's going to end up underneath of it, and that's it. So let me get back here a little further. On the McWilliams boys, they went down, and finally, they came up on. We spotted them where they go up on the knoll over there, where it was high, and they motioned for us to stay. Or it looked as though that's what they was doing, which I think that's what they said they were doing, motion for us to stay there. that the water was swift. There's all kind of debris in it. So we thought, well, you know, great. You know, they'll go get some help and get it down here right away. So we probably waited another half hour. And that's when the, you know, the truck started rocking, and we knew then that we didn't have any choice. You know, we either try on our own to get out of it or forget it. So we went in a group, all six of us, down the 200 feet of hose. Well, we took all our bunker gear off. You know, all we had on was pants, shirt, and a pair of socks. And the field was tough on the feet. It felt like corn stalks down there you were stepping on where they'd been cut off. Guess when we got to the end of the hose, you know, we didn't have to just let go. And we went probably 30 feet, just rolling around under the water, coming up gasping for air, you know, when you could. Because, you know, it was so swift you couldn't swim in it. Larry went first, and, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I heard him, and the others said they heard him, said, stand up. You know, so everybody was grabbing at the ground and everything else, and finally we got stood up, and we was in water that probably a little bit above your waist. Still swift, but it was, you could stand in it and start walking in it. So I stood up, couldn't breathe. I thought I was going to die right there. I seen a little old sapling, could have been about 10 yards away from me. So I made my way over to that thing, grabbed hold of it, and then I heard somebody saying, Craig, help me. So I looked around, there was Fred Trader. And he was standing there, he said, I can't go. So I got a hold of his hand, pulled him over to me. I told him, well, let's just stand here, you know, until we can breathe. I said, I can't breathe. So we stood there. Couldn't have been maybe a minute or so. And the other guys all come up, and we seen them all standing there. They started out, and I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, back up, boys. I said, we're going out here together. I said, me and Fred can't make it. So we went probably another 10 yards to another little sapling, got a hold of that, and that's where the rest of them were. And we got a hold and held hands and walked over to where we got up on that little knoll to where we could get out of it. And we took turns for a while taking Fred, because he couldn't hardly walk, helping him walk out of it. And we got over so far, and we seen where Chuck and Bernie come down in the loader. And, you know, we could see a fire truck sitting over there, but there wasn't no way of getting into us. They couldn't get into us. And the loader couldn't have got to us. It was just too much water, too swift. So just by the grace of the good Lord, we made it out of there. You know, the water was going down. It was going, and for some reason, it was split. One was going this way, which took you right directly over to the river, the main river. And the other one was just going over this way, I guess, finishing up flooding that field out. And luckily, that's the way we washed. I don't know why, I don't know how, but that's the way we went. And we got over there. Two of them took hold of Fred and started carrying him. The rest of us took off running as far as we could to the up the road to get out of there, to get some help to send down to help and carry Fred out there. When the emergency squad was coming down then with a basket or a board or something to carry somebody out, because they already, two of the younger ones already beat us up there to tell them, you know, they needed the help. We got up there and they loaded, three or four of them in the ambulance. Two of them got on inside the fire truck, and Buzz Harper brought me up, and we all went to the hospital, and kept us in there for, what do they call it? You get too much water or whatever. And Fred was the worst one, because he was having a lot of problems then. And they put heating pads on his feet and around him to warm him up. So we stayed in there till, must have been 6 o'clock the next morning. Took our clothes, which we'd had hanging up there dried, left and went to the fire hall where there wasn't nobody, because it had been flooded out too. Someone said they were up at the Tucker Manor. Well, we made it up the Tucker Manor And everybody ended up getting a pair of shoes but me. I couldn't find those shoes. What I had left was in the far hall got washed out. So I stayed around there until, well, most of us stayed around there then for, I don't know how many hours it was. And we found them instead of being at the Tucker Manor, they were out above the hospital. And I guess we were there, I'm not really sure how long. Finally, Lena Manier come along and had a pair of boots. She had borrowed off her neighbor to walk down to see her house because it was hit with flood. And she loaned those to me until I could get someplace to get some boots. Or I don't even remember where I did get my next pair of boots. Yeah, I do too. That was 2 days later before I could make it up on the mountain, where they opened up Sugar Land Road. And one of them had a truck, and he took me up to my father-in-law's. And I still had this guy's boots, and he gave me money the next day, and I went and bought me a pair of boots. And then I come back down and returned those other ones I had.
What happened with the Moors then? I know what happened with Andy, but what happened with her?
Fortunately for them, some way it washed them right on down, and they, I understand, got out at the road and walked up. Amy got stuck on in it, and she floated down there on, I guess, some pieces of a porch or something it was, and got up in a tree. Her parents came back up here and couldn't get anybody to help for a long time to go down and search for her. So finally, I think they got Don Goss, who had a boat, and he was down in St. George getting people out. And he went down and went in searching in that area with another boy that was with him, and heard somebody yelling, and went over and got her out. So it was just a miracle, really, you know, for them and us and the whole town, really, because we lost one, I think, in town from the flood. We're fortunate.
What a story.
Yes.
What did you get to see your home that night then?
No, I didn't see the house until, well, that afternoon, I think it was. Really, the water started getting down enough where you could get across to the tracks here. It was still up in the when we were looking out the window from the Tucker Manor, it was still up at the EMP. So I didn't try and come over here until probably sometime that evening, and I walked down here to cross the tracks right here and took a look over, and I seen it was still standing. I didn't know how bad it was or anything until, and I didn't go over and go in it then because there's still water all the way around it. So I figured I'd just wait until the water went down and see what happened. So I don't know. I think I went back the next day before I ever went inside the house, seeing what happened.
What'd you see?
Wow. Dead dog, dead cat, which we had left in the house because we didn't think the water was going to get up that high. Just a total mess. Mud, probably a foot of mud. Mud all the way around the house. You know, you had to walk through mud to get up onto the porch. I didn't stay too long. I walked in, looked in the living room, turned around, walked out, left. I didn't go back and get the animals out for probably another day before I went back and got them even. Plus, we had and when I come out of it, one of the neighbors' houses was a brick house right almost across the street from us, not quite, it was up a little ways. We had a cat that stayed outside most of the time. That thing got on the roof, and it had the vents. And it held onto that daggone vents. And evidently the water going over that house drowned that cat. And there it was stuck on the roof, hanging over the roof with its paws on the vent. I wanted to get it down then, but I didn't have any way of getting it down, so left it, and somebody somewhere along the line got it down, got rid of it.
What did your store look like?
That's where I went first, was the store. I walked down where I could, the windows were out, the doors busted out, the whole side of the wall was gone. And there wasn't much really left in there. It seemed like, what happened is evidently it just, whenever the wall went out, just like a suction, it must have just sucked most of the stuff right out of the store. Because it picked up shelves we had with paint on it, full gallons of paint, where we had like 3 and 4 extra gallons of them, probably 12, 15 pounds a piece. And the shelving that was built was heavy to start with. It was a long one, almost as long as what this room is. And it just picked it up and floated it and caught on where the muffler's rack was, and it stopped there. But the biggest part of the paint stuff inside of it, it just went on down the river. The funny thing was, where the wall went out was where I had my muffler rack. And the mufflers were on cardboard boxes. It washed them boxes completely off of the muffler and left the muffler set. Just like they were taken out of it, boxes thrown away, and mufflers laid there, right in order. That's the way it looked. That has amazed me more than anything, the way it did that. We had boys had a little toy snail thing. They had hands.